My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Big Money Energy Podcast, Season 2 with iHeartRadio, the greatest podcast ever, obviously. Today, we have a really, really, really cool entrepreneur, Ilir Sella. And now you might be saying, what? I don't know who that is. But you know what you do have? You know what you do know? You know what you have tasted? Pizza. Ilir Sella is the new pizza king because he founded a company called Slice, which has completely changed the way people order pizza all over the world. He's created it not too long ago, and he's now built it to 1,075 employees, and they're going to do $1 billion in pizza sales this year. The story is totally incredible. He's a first-generation immigrant from Macedonia, grew up in Staten Island, went to local college, and just figured out what his passion was and so many other things. Also, he turned down an offer to sell the company once for $18 million. He said no. That was a really, really tough decision for him. And then again, for $350 million. He said, no, we go through the whole thing. I hope you like it. Typically, there's so much information that I'm like trying to pare it down. I'm like, all right, how do I be as efficient with questions as possible?
Yeah.
Right? With you, like, I know just enough. But you're also kind of like the secret ninja entrepreneur. Like there's not a whole lot out there. And so I kind of want to like dig into it. People know your background and they're listening to this. So they've obviously read the caption and the description of what the podcast episode is. But you're first generation.
Yeah. I moved here when I was 10 years old. Came here from Europe. I remember literally vividly remember flying into JFK. I come from a town in Europe, in southeastern Europe, that has zero traffic lights. I mean, there's barely any lights.
Yeah.
And coming into New York City from JFK, you look around, you look out the window, you're 10 years old.
Insane.
I mean, it looks like magic.
Yeah.
It looks like anything could be possible, which is kind of it stuck with me from that moment forward.
And what brought your family to the U.S. and to New York?
Yeah, my my family actually has been going back and forth. My my grandfather, my parents lived in the city in the 70s, and they owned a pizza shop called Charlie's Pizza on 75th and 3rd.
Nice.
And the wild story, as a real estate person, you'll appreciate this.
Good location, 75th and 3rd.
Yeah, they earned a lot with their pizza shop. It was a 24/7 operation, saved a lot of cash.
Yeah.
Their lease ran up, and the building owner offered them to buy the building for $300,000.
In what year?
1975.
Oh, man.
And they turned it down so they could all move back home.
Got it.
To and Europe.
Take the money, yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, they moved back home, and then in 1990 decided to come back again. And I think part of it had to do with the fact that my brothers and I, we were, you know, getting older.
Sure.
In a sort of sense, and they wanted to provide opportunity for us, specifically on the education front. So better schools, better opportunities, and they made a lot of sacrifices to come back.
I'm sure. Yeah. And you spoke English at the time?
No, not really. Barely.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's like just so classic, right? Like your parents put you on an airplane and take you to the U.S. and
that's right.
You don't really know English, and they're like, go figure it out. Go to school.
Go on and be somebody. But fortunately,
America.
I have a twin brother. And
identical.
Wow. And
are you the twin, or are you really elite?
You never know. We are in a lot
that
of places.
True. We should check.
I am in a lot of places at the same time. Let me put it that way. I'm kidding. But it made things a lot easier. Obviously, you have a twin brother. You're kind of going through this journey together.
Yeah.
You don't feel so alone, and you don't have to sort of have this pressure of making friends. So it kind of softened the experience a little bit.
What did you want to be when you were a little kid? I'm trying to imagine you as like 9 years old in Macedonia and then 11 in New York.
Yeah, my dad really instilled this sort of entrepreneurial passion from the early days. My dad worked incredibly hard. He was, you know, part of the family's pizzeria business when he was younger, and then he became a master tailor and opened up a shop in Manhattan when we moved back. Really made a name for himself because the suits he made were just are incredible. I mean, we've got to talk after this.
Okay.
But he's retired now, and word sort of spread out, and you know, John F. Kennedy Jr. was getting married and needed a suit for his wedding. And
wow.
My dad handmade his suit for his wedding. And that was sort of his own small business, right? He was just a master tailor. What he sort of taught us was, kind of going back to the same point I made earlier, which is when you come to America, every opportunity is available to you, literally everything. It all is up to you. It's all up to you if you want to really take advantage and seize the moment and seize the opportunities. And basically what he said was that the rules of this country favor entrepreneurs. Nothing wrong with having a job and working for others, of course, but that is what the system is designed to do, is nurture and enable entrepreneurs to launch businesses.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, from right out of school, I mean, my first job was my own business where we built websites in the early 2000s.
Was that Nerdforce?
Nerdforce.
Yes.
What a great,
simple, to the point name.
Yeah, I got really lucky. Geek Squad launched with Best Buy nationally, and it was not a franchise, but people wanted to get into that business. So we started getting calls nonstop for people who wanted a franchise. I had no idea what that meant, but if they wanted one, I needed to sell them that. So I franchised the model, and we launched 124 locations.
That's insane.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was 20. Well, when I launched, I was 21. So 21 to 27.
Did you go to college? Did you get out of college?
I went to CUNY. I went to the College of Staten Island.
Yeah.
So I always did really well in school. But Albanian culture is one that, where at the time, it was like you have to be home. You can't really go away to school.
Ah.
And so I went to the College of Staten Island.
And stay close.
Yeah. I graduated in 3 years. I had a bunch of college credits from high school. I don't know why. I think just I've got this way of memorizing things, I guess. But yeah, finished school pretty quickly and then launched the tech support company.
Got it. And did you always love technology?
Yeah, I think
even when you were a little kid, even in Macedonia, or is this like...
No, definitely not in Macedonia. There's no such thing. Now there is. But I think what really led me to embrace and kind of have passion for technology is sometime maybe I was 13 or 14 years old and my older brother got a computer.
Nice.
My older brother, who's 5 years older.
Yeah.
He was just starting school.
It's the three of you, the three boys.
Three of us, yeah.
Yeah.
So my older brother started school. He's an architect. And his freshman year of college, he got a computer. And we were not allowed to touch it, my brother and I.
Yeah.
And so the moment you're told you can't touch it.
I wouldn't let you guys touch my computer either.
So the moment that that became the rule meant that we, you know, you obviously want to go and play with it. So whenever he would be in school, because it was like a desktop at home. We would just like mess around with it. And it became a real passion for me. So when I went to college, it was a computer science track. So I have a computer science degree.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
So you sold NerdForce.
Correct.
Right? And you did not go back to Macedonia and retire on the beach.
I did not. I bootstrapped NerdForce. In fact, I didn't really know what it meant to raise venture capital and investments and things like that.
Did you raise money with NerdForce?
I did not. No, it was just started from day one.
And you just franchised it because people were calling and wanted to franchise?
Yeah. Yeah, we started getting so many calls. Well, we were named one of the most thriving companies post 9/11 at the 5-year anniversary.
Crazy.
So in 2006, 5 years after 9/11, we were on the centerfold. Back then, it was a big deal of the New York Daily News.
Yeah.
And it was sort of this company's thriving in New York post 9/11. And so that gave us a lot of brand awareness at the local level. And so again, as Geek Squad started launching on a national scale, we got bombarded with calls for franchising. Yeah.
How did you figure out how to franchise?
Oh my God. I went to an attorney in Staten Island and I said, hey, I want to franchise my business. And they said, well, it's going to be $250,000. I was like, I don't have $250,000. So, I locked myself in my office for 3 days. Literally, it was like a Friday to a Monday. Learned everything that there is to know about how to franchise your business, including trademarking your logo and brand.
Sure.
And I did it myself. And within 90 days, we had our first franchisee.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So the answer to everyone who's listening to this is just be smart. Be super smart. Get through college in 3 years and learn. What you just said reminded me of like Leonardo DiCaprio, Catch Me If You Can. Have you seen that with Tom Hanks?
I have, yeah.
At the end of the movie, Tom Hanks says, tell me, you know, how did you, like, what was it like, how did you get into law school? What was it, become a lawyer or something? He's like, no, I just studied and took the test and I passed it.
Yeah.
He's like, what? No, but you're a con artist. You had a separate way to get about it. He's like, no, I just studied and took the test.
Yeah. And I would say that's, it's actually less complicated than smart. I think it's just put in effort.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm smarter than anyone, that we all have the same abilities. But it really is about the input, the effort you put in against that, you know, ability, and that gives you an advantage or not. So it's really more effort than it is smart.
And do you remember where your first franchise was?
Yeah, it was in Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Nice. And so that person then paid you a fee.
Correct.
And opened up their own
Nerd Forest location. Yeah.
Got it. Were people doing these like out of their own homes and garages type thing, or opening up retail stores?
No, it was a mobile, it was like a, you know, man in a van, mobile, nice, on-site tech support, in-home business.
Nice.
And, you know, we grew to about 900 technicians. So these franchisees started hiring their own technicians. And we went from about 30 technicians to 900.
And you were getting a small percentage of all, yeah, of their sales.
We were getting $450 a month as a flat fee royalty.
Okay.
There was a marketing fee. And that was it.
And were you taking a percentage? So the royalty fee was on top of that,
correct,
right? So then you sold the franchise and the rights to Nerd Force, right?
Correct.
Who'd you sell
it to? Sold
it
to a public company called Nexus Management out of the United Kingdom.
Nice.
Public company.
Where they just knock on your door?
Yeah. Well, they provided enterprise level support to larger companies, and they wanted to get into the SMB space, the small business space.
Yeah.
And they viewed Nerd Force as their wedge into small business.
Nice.
And then they were going to provide their enterprise level products to small businesses.
Did you have to stay on board once you sold?
I did. I had to stay on board for a couple of years. I got really lucky. So I sold in June of 2008.
Yeah.
November of 2008, the world changed,
yeah,
economically.
Yep.
And access to capital just completely went away.
Yep.
And the franchise system is highly dependent on small business loans,
yep,
which became impossible. And so I would say the next year and a half became pretty challenging.
Yep.
And eventually I ended up leaving.
Got it. To do what you're doing now or something totally different?
To do what I'm doing now.
So where is that mindset switch for you? You're sitting there, you just sold a company to a public company, you're in the middle of a recession, things are really, really tough. And you're like, you know what? Pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Your family's been in pizza for a long time. So I get
correct.
That.
Correct. So I've got a lot of family members that own pizzerias.
Yeah.
Being Albanian, this is what Albanians do. that or construction, which is what my twin brother does.
There you go.
Yeah. And I started getting a lot of family members asking me for help to build them websites because mm-hmm. Because of the Nerd Force experience and just my background. And the consistency with which these asks came across was kind of jarring. And you know, I knew everything about the franchise model. So I'm looking at Domino's and I'm watching commercials and they're like, order online. Every commercial, they stopped advertising phone numbers. Everything was e-commerce. So I wanted to learn more about what was going on there. And I also wanted to learn more about the pizza industry more holistically. But I didn't really, I'll be honest, I don't really think about challenges. Like I didn't really think, well, it's a recession. Like maybe I shouldn't start a business. My brain isn't wired that way.
Yeah,
same. My brain's more just like, what is the opportunity and what's the current sort of data set?
Sure.
And so anyway, learned a couple of things. One, you may be surprised, but the pizza industry in the US is $47 billion.
Okay.
That is revenue that passes through 77,000 locations in the US. That's a massive, massive industry, $47 billion. Two, only 25% of all locations are the big chains combined.
Okay.
Domino's, Papa John's, Little Caesars, Pizza Hut. Everyone else is independent for the most part.
Yeah.
And three, Domino's locations were starting to really outperform independents because of the e-commerce play.
One, two, three.
Exactly. And so I was like, wait, going back to my experience with NerdForce, these independent operators, these mom and pop locations have the same problem that the independents who are competing with us did as well. But let me go and talk to them. Let me see why did my uncle not open up a Papa John's? Why did he open up John Anthony's Pizza?
Yeah.
So what you learn is that most small business owners are really passionate about a craft. And so they go into the business because of that. And they inherit all these business problems. But they are not really business people. They don't know marketing. They don't know technology. They don't know, you know, finances and all those things. They just kind of have to figure that stuff out.
Right.
So
they're artists first.
Yeah. And so I realized that there's an opportunity to create a new model called a reverse franchise, where instead of doing sort of recreating the franchise, I wanted to unite all the independents and in essence create the world's largest pizza chain.
Sure.
But this time, instead of all of them being the same brand, for them to be independent brands but have the same benefits.
Got it.
So that was the moment I realized that those three things and sort of that lesson for why independents go into business or mom and pop sort of owners go into business. I went and bought a domain name called mypizza.com, which was the brand of my company for the first 5 years.
Did you have to buy it from somebody else?
I did. It was for sale for $150,000.
What?
Yeah.
Mypizza.com?
Yeah. It was, I mean, this is 2009. Domain names were pretty popular. Pizza.com, which I tried to buy, was on sale for $4 million.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, I'll take the my. But I negotiated that down to 15K.
Nice. Good 15,000. Yeah. You are a good salesman.
I mean,
the transparency, the storyteller, you knock it down.
Yeah. And so got that on board and we started, we started scaling quickly. Bootstrapped, again, no investments.
But it started as My Pizza.
Yeah.
Mypizza.com. And then obviously, so this is 2009, 2010. So creating an app wasn't even an idea yet.
No, it was still super early. I mean, in hindsight, I probably should have invested there early enough, but I did not. Instead, we, for the most part, built websites for the pizzeria.
Yep.
Powered by My Pizza. And then we had
MyPizza.com. So you guys were the platform.
Correct.
And you would just cold call independent pizzerias and say, hey, we're going to help you sell more pizza online?
Yeah. Well, we tried doing that and they were like, what are you talking about? Who needs to sell pizza online? It's 2009. No one really wants technology. And so I went and got three cars, these like little Nissan cubes. They look like pizza boxes. Branded them with My Pizza and I would park them in front of pizzerias. Literally just move them around with my twin brother. And we would leave them around town and it would give us credibility. Because we were brand new, like who knew mypizza.com?
Yeah, yeah.
And then after leaving them, you know, in front of a pizzeria for a day or two, I would go inside the pizzeria and say, hey, I'm with mypizza.com. If you guys want to work with us, here's what we do. And that's how we got probably the first 50 to 100 locations.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you'd build them all their own individual websites.
Correct.
Because that's what your friends and family were having you do.
Yeah.
Because that's what you ask somebody who starts a company called NerdForce to do. Right?
Exactly. But what we did was, and the unlock here is that all these pizzerias are almost identical. They just don't know it.
Yeah.
They all operate the same way.
Yeah.
And so what we did was we built a system where as long as I can enter a pizzeria's information on the back end, on the front end, a website would be created automatically.
Wow.
But it was just like a cookie cutter website.
Got it.
Same one, just different photos different names.
Yeah. How'd you make money?
So we basically charged $2 per order. For every order we generated online, we would charge $2.
And because you're building the website, you're knowing what orders are coming through.
Correct.
Got it.
So we built a website. We had mypizza.com. We created some advertising channels, some marketing channels online through Google. And so for every order that would pass through, the restaurant would pay us $2. It would cost us one. So literally, like, it was like, create something for a dollar, sell it for two, and do that as many times as possible.
Got it. Good thing people buy a lot of pizza, though. And you started just East Coast to start.
Yeah, just mostly in New York. And I'll tell you a story, by the way. My mom was like, what is this new thing you're doing? Why don't you go get a job?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'll explain to you what we do. We partner with pizzerias. We build this website. We enter all their menu items. We go and advertise, and then somebody orders. And then when somebody orders, we make money. And she's like, okay, not bad. So the order is like $30. So you make $30. I was like, no. We make two. And in fact, it cost us one. So we make a dollar. And she's like, all that work for a dollar?
Lots of dollars.
Exactly. You reach scale.
Lots of dollars.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
So then where do you go from there? Like you just, okay, now I'm just going to tackle all the independent pizzerias in the United States?
Yeah. So then, once we started sort of creating some critical mass on the restaurant side, word started to spread. Really the unlock for us was when we figured out how to turn online orders into faxes to the pizzeria automatically. So there's technology that converts something digital to a fax.
Sure.
Within like 30 seconds.
So that they could get like the paper order and they would print it out and deliver it.
Yeah, because a lot of pizzerias were like, hey, I don't want all this technology.
Sure.
There's a lot of anxiety around that. But they all have a fax number on their menu.
Yeah.
And so we started asking, hey, how many times does this fax machine print an order for you? And they would say once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so we were like, what if that printed out like 30 times a day? They were like, you know, it's great. And it meant that they didn't have to change their workflow. And so we started selling My Pizza as a fax ordering service to the restaurant, but an online ordering product to the consumer.
Crazy.
And the moment that happened, it just kind of took off.
And pizzerias just kind of, because they all talk to each other, right?
They all talk to, and they're all very connected. If you own a pizza shop, so does your brother-in-law, maybe your sister.
Yeah.
And so there's this sort of community effect.
And then they just all want to be a part of the same system. Because you're making ordering easier, but you're also making them more money? Were they selling more pizza?
No, definitely. So the big unlock here is that online volume, e-commerce volume, is more valuable than offline volume.
Okay.
So if you compare two pizzerias, one of them is 100% phone-based, where you're calling in the orders. The other one is 100% e-commerce. The difference is going to be 3x.
Yeah, I'm sure.
One, because the phone channel is the same person who's making the pizza has to answer the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's busy. It's all these things.
Taking down the credit card number, such a pain.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Two, once you call a pizzeria, they never call you back.
Yeah.
Like, there's no CRM. There's no like retention marketing.
Yeah.
They don't remind you to reorder.
Yeah.
They don't upsell you. There's none of that. And then three, it costs a lot more to serve that customer because you need people to answer the phone.
Sure.
And you make a lot of mistakes and all that good stuff. So really the premise here is that if we can flip all of these independent pizzerias, these family-owned businesses, to e-commerce businesses, they'll make a lot more money and they'll save a lot of money.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so then take me up to 2016 when everything switched.
So a couple of things happened between then and 2016. One is—
Did you raise any money?
We didn't raise money.
So you're just operating purely off cash flow?
Purely off cash flow, bootstrapped. Started to build out a team in Macedonia.
So you're profitable?
Yeah. We were hiring some family members in Macedonia to do some of the menu work that we spoke about.
Because you wanted to do this for pizzerias in Macedonia?
No, it's all US, but I wanted them to help me do the work.
Okay.
And so
offshore.
Offshore. I went to visit family in 2010 in Macedonia, and they were asking me about this new company. And one of my relatives said, hey, why don't you give us that work and we can do it for $5? And it was costing us $100 here.
Got it.
And so, and by the way, $5 over there, $5 per hour is maybe five times the national average. So you get this amazing job in an office. You get paid really well.
Yeah.
And so we started hiring people there. And by 2015, we had a team there of about 20 or 30 people.
Doing a lot of the admin work.
Yeah, the back office operations. And then I picked my head up February of 2015.
Yep.
I'm in Starbucks in Staten Island.
Okay.
And I'm looking at these, at my books, at my financial books. And in January of 2015, we had profited $250,000 just for the month.
Nice.
Straight to the bottom line. I started doing some silly things. So I went to Manhattan Motor Cars and bought a Bentley.
Nice.
Just cash. And I was like, I'll make it up next month.
No.
So some silly things like that.
Where is that Bentley now?
I sold it in 3 years later.
Got it.
But, you know, things you do that you're like, you know, what am I going to do with this money?
Sure.
Then I realized, wait, I'm being kind of silly. I need to reinvest this thing. And continue to reinvest in the company. 6 months later, I got an offer to sell the company for $18 million. And it would have been, you know, life-changing.
Crazy.
Yeah. And I almost did it.
Who makes that kind of offer?
A private equity fund.
Interesting.
A couple of brothers had sold their own tech company and they were starting to create a portfolio of companies.
And they saw what you guys were doing and just came to you?
Yeah. Yeah, came to us and got really close. They took me out to dinner, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Got really close to selling. And my twin brother was like, well, what are you going to do next?
Because how old were you at that time?
I was 35.
Got it.
And you know, I thought to myself, I was like, you know what? I'll probably do the same thing again, third time around. And for me, it was like, you know what? This is still the beginning. We were growing so fast that I kind of asked myself, hey, what if I treated this company as the new thing and I don't sell? But what if I really come in with that level of energy of like launching something brand new?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen? And so I turned down the deal and I reached out to one of the founders of Seamless who had sold the company on Twitter. And they responded and they're like, yeah, let's jump on a call. Get on a call. He's like, hey, like, what is this business? MyPizza.com. I've never heard of it. I don't even know what this is. But hey, when you have like 500 restaurants on your platform, just call me back and we'll work together. I was like, well, I've got 3,000. I had 3,000 restaurants by then. And he's like, come to my office tomorrow. I go to the office. They got really excited and invested $1 million. For me, it was access to their network to help me scale the business. And that was kind of the beginning of the second phase of the company.
But it was still MyPizza.
It was still MyPizza.
And this is 2016.
This was late 2015, October, November of 2015.
So when did you make the switch from all the different websites into the one app platform?
Yeah, so—
Because that must have been a huge business plan shift.
Yeah. Well, in
everything
fact,
changed.
Yeah, and we still actually power all the websites. So we decided to go from just being websites only to being omni-channel.
Okay.
So one is we made a deal with Google. So we are a direct partner with Google. Where if you are a pizza shop and you partner with Slice, the consumer can order through Google, Google Assistant, Google Food Ordering, you name it, all these channels freely.
Got it.
Without you having to do anything extra. And then we started to invest in a direct-to-consumer app And we launched that in October of 2016.
Okay.
And that was, that coincided in parallel with us going from the My Pizza brand to the Slice brand. And it was kind of crazy. Business Insider wrote this article that said, this one man company is so profitable that they've hired 100 people in like 90 days. And now it's called Slice, kind of thing. So I think it's still out there.
Yeah. It is still out there. It's such a cool, such a crazy, cool story. Why did you do all this? Like, what's your mission? Is it to take down Domino's? Is it to empower? I could have 9 hours of questions for you, but your story is just so unique and inspiring to a lot of people who are listening. Like, I have a lot of ideas right now. And so I know a lot of other people are probably thinking, you know, for themselves too, but like you now are at a point where, is the goal just to completely shift the way people order food? Is it to change the paradigm? Is it just to build something as big as possibly can be? Because have you had other offers come to you to try to buy you out left and
we
right?
We have. We did. We had another offer in 2019. I haven't made this public, but I'll share it here. I won't say who, but we did have an offer.
In the trailer. Yeah. That's great.
But we did have an offer to sell for $350 million in 2019 that I turned down.
Yeah. You turned it down?
Yeah.
Did you tell your mom?
I did.
Okay, just want to make sure because I hope maybe she'll listen to this.
And at the time, I owned more than 50% of the company still. So that would have been life-changing as well. But in hindsight, it was absolutely the right idea. And it was the right decision.
Why?
Because again, we're incredibly early in this digital transformation, e-commerce transformation phase.
Yeah.
And to your question, like what motivates me? It's, you know, money is a lagging indicator of wealth that you can create for the world. And
sure.
Wealth isn't defined as money.
Yeah.
Wealth is making things people want.
Yeah.
And so that's one. Two, I don't operate with the mindset of, in order for me to win, I got to make sure somebody else loses, because that assumes that wealth is a finite pie. That's not true either. Wealth, in fact, is an infinite game. If you create wealth, it's incremental to everything that already exists. And so I admire Domino's. I admire some of these chains. I think they're doing incredibly well, and I take some inspiration from what they're doing. But I want to make that accessible and democratize that, as much as I don't like that word, to everybody else. So for me, what I'm really passionate about is, how do we keep the debate of what is your favorite pizza going? Because that debate will be gone if local family-owned businesses go out of business.
Yeah, of course.
And the only way for these family-owned businesses to have a shot is for there to be an operating system, ultimately, a platform that will allow them to focus on what they do really well, but solve all the other problems.
Yep.
So having said all of that, the way I think about the opportunity looking forward is, instead of somebody going and wanting to open up a franchise, I want someone to open up their own local brand, their own authentic brand with their own recipe, their own story, their own history. And focus on what they do best, but everything else is sort of solved for by Slice, which is the real estate side. We should talk after.
Yeah.
The financial side, so access to capital, the entire technology platform, brand, creative, marketing, all those things.
Do you give small business loans now as a company?
Yeah. We're actually launching two new locations this month with great operators who have had one location for a long time.
Yep.
Have always had a dream to open up their second location, but didn't have access to capital.
Yep.
Or had a lot of anxiety about where and how to do it. One of them will be in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Nice.
And another one is in a small town in Massachusetts.
Got it. And are you taking ownership stakes in those?
We are not. No, they're just exclusive customers to Slice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what's your day like now? I mean, are you hiring and managing this entire time? Is that like your Monday through Friday?
Yeah. You know, for a while it became really reactive, and I'm not really, it's not really a great feeling to react to things at this scale.
Yeah.
So I've actually put some structure to my week. And so I've created themes for every day. And so, you know, Mondays are my days with my direct management team. So with our chief business officer, chief technology officer, yeah. and, you know, and so on and so forth. And also we have our exec team meeting.
Yeah.
So I know what Monday is about.
Yeah.
Tuesday is sort of a focus on product. Wednesday, we've got no meeting days. Like we don't, we just don't meet.
Got it.
It's a day to do, get shit done.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can. Yeah. And then, you know, so every day has a theme. But, you know, what's been pretty awesome is meeting a lot of different people and learning about different stories, being here today and, you know, learning, hopefully learn more about, you know, your journey as well. But, you know, I think that's most of how I spend my time. And then on the weekends, I literally live inside pizzerias. I just go drive around and I'll sit at a pizzeria. They don't really know who I am, but I'll order a pie. And when you order a pie from an owner and you tell them it's good,
yeah.
they start talking.
Yeah,
so
sure.
You can ask them questions. They're like, well, what are your biggest challenges? Yeah. And so I try to stay really close to the customer.
Yeah.
Because the last thing I would want to do is lose touch with what exactly is happening in the market.
Big Money Energy is hosted by me, Ryan Serhant. It's produced by Mike Coscarelli and Joe Laresca, and executive produced by Lindsay Hoffman. Find more podcasts like Big Money Energy on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.